Please turn with me to Revelation chapter 22. That's where we find our scripture this morning. Revelation chapter 22, verse 12 to 17. The title of this message, The Return of Christ, Our Blessed Hope. The Return of Christ, Our Blessed Hope. And I hope those who were away had a blessed time and are now back. And I'm grateful to see you all here in the house of the Lord. And those who have visited us, it's a great joy to see you also among the people of God. Revelation 22, I read from verse 12 to 17. Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay everyone for what he has done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes, so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers, and the sexually immoral, and the murderers, and the idolaters, and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you about these things for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride says, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. The Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Heavily pegged words from the word of God, and I won't be able to go through everything. Our concentration this morning will be specifically verse 12 and verse 17, looking at the return of Christ as our blessed hope. Usually, at the beginning of the year, many people have great plans for the year ahead, and that is okay. However, friends, your plans must always include a careful attention and a careful understanding of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the soon return of the Lord. There has to be that sense of obedience to the gospel, the sense of self-examination, self-introspection. There has to be total commitment to the ways of the Lord or to the word of God, so that you don't find yourself caught up with the so many things of the world and the things of the past, that you will bring them through to the new year, so that you don't find yourself caught up with the worldly things that lies out there, so that you remember your calling, that your calling as a Christian is a calling to holiness. It is a calling to a life of righteousness. There has to be then that sense of looking forward to that single and final return of the Lord Jesus Christ, even at the beginning of the year. Of course, some have declared the year as a year of death and death. I saw a friend of mine on Facebook says, it's a year of the Spirit. Some says the year of prosperity and health. Friends, many may say so many things, but what do you make of the year? Is this the year where you will be obedient again to the word of God? A year where we will remember that things are progressing forward, yet one thing remains for sure. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. I know how it is in my house when I tell them that when I come back from work, I'll bring something. My children will wait for me. Even if I come late, they will wait for me, because I have promised there is something that I'm bringing for them.
But here there is something of great importance. It is the Lord Jesus Christ himself giving us a promise that he is coming back and he's got something in his hand for those who will be found faithful when he returns. Something of a blessed hope. Something that we must hold on to, that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. That's what he says in his message here, in his message to John, but actually a message to the entire church throughout the history of the church. A message, friend, in the context of Revelation, a message to a persecuted church. A message to a people suffering the mockery of this world. People looking forward to the coming of Christ to redeem them from the sorrows and the pains of this life. Yet they continue to live day after day. They continue to live. There seems to be no end of their trouble, humanly speaking. And here is the Lord Jesus Christ answering them, giving a message to John. Tell this to my people, those who hold on to the truth. Tell them what I want them to know. I am coming, and I'm coming back very, very soon. They need to hold on to something. He gives them something to hold on. Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, he also gave us something to hold on. He says those who hold on to the end, they will be saved. He says here, though you are persecuted, though you are going through trials and pains and suffering of this world, though life may seem to be dark, maybe hopeless, hold on to the promises. I am coming back, and I'm coming back soon, carrying with me a great blessing for my church. The question is, friend, will you find you ready when he returns? Because it is not a matter of how you began. It is not a matter how you started the journey. It is a matter how you are going to end the journey that is before you. So may the message that I bring to you this morning, it may be engraved on your hearts as you go through this year, knowing for sure that the Lord Jesus Christ is at hand. A message that should bring delight in you that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back again, keeping you safe. A message that will make sure that you live a life before others that is pleasing to God, knowing that there is a prize that he brings for you. And we shall look at the prize just now. So this morning, we are not going to look at the so many theological controversies surrounding the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to encourage us at the beginning of the year to look forward at least to his return, regardless of how and when he will return, but to look forward to his return, to delight in the message of his return. That is what I want us to look at this morning. Firstly, we look at the certainty of his return. That is what we get. The first point here, there is a certainty in the message of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse number 12, "Behold, I am coming soon, bringing my recompense with me to repay each one for what he has done." He says, behold. He says, look. He says, pay careful attention. He says, this message is sure. You can count on my words. Indeed, indeed, this is definite. It will definitely happen. I am coming back again. And if you read chapter number 1 of this book of Revelation, you can see that the very same message is revealed at the beginning of the book of Revelation. That's how important this message is. You look at verse number 7. In chapter number 1, it says, "Behold, he is coming with the cloud, and everyone's eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth would wail on his account. Even so, amen. Come, Lord Jesus, come." So the reason the Lord wants us to be certain about this message of his coming is because he wants to strengthen his relationship with his people. He is speaking to a people who may be weak at the time. people who may want to draw back, people who may be losing heart and losing hope that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming, people who may be challenged in their walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to strengthen their relationship with Him. Therefore, then He demands our trust in what He says. If He says, "I am coming soon," He wants us to trust what He says. That is what He wanted. He wanted the church to trust what He says. Look at verse number 7 here in chapter number 22. Just to show you that He really wants us to trust this. He says in verse 7, "And behold, I am coming soon." Listen. "Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy of this book." You see, there is a sense whereby the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to pour our trust upon Him. Blessed is the one who take hold of the words of this prophecy. Blessed is the one who will trust and keep this message of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who will live his life in the journey of this world, knowing that Jesus Christ indeed is coming and is coming again. Actually, in Revelation chapter 22, just in this chapter, three times the Lord mentions that He's coming back and He's coming quickly. He is coming quickly. There is a sense of urgency. He is coming. He is coming again. He tells those who read this book, "Behold, I am coming quickly." He speaks to a people facing persecution. People were asking questions: how long, O Lord, will the nation prevail? How long, O Lord, will the people mock us for our salvation? How long, O Lord, will the false teachers and the false prophets of this world continue to mislead those that you love? How long, O God? They're asking questions. They are concerned about the situation of this world. They are asking, they are crying out to the Lord, and He answers them. He answers them through this book. I am coming quickly. Hold on to my message. We see in the book of Revelation that the Lord Jesus Christ revealed the entire history of the church and the entire history of the world. We see the blessings and we see the curses that will fall upon those of who are the children of disobedience. Yet at the end, He brings a message of comfort, a message that will encourage His church. That when it is all being said and done, Jesus Christ is coming back for you. Why is He saying that? So that we may be comforted even in the midst of discomfort. He wants them to take His word at heart. He wants us to trust. And friends, if God says it will happen, it means that it will happen. It will definitely take place. Remember His words. Remember what He spoke, saying, "My word shall never return unto me void. I will always accomplish the purpose I have sent my word for." If God says it will happen, it will definitely happen. So, He doesn't want to leave His people hopeless, in a hopeless situation. Not only does He want them to trust in Him, but He wants to build their hope also as they go through a hopeless situation. He knows that these people require protection from the wicked world. Only the people who wants to be protected from a wicked world are the people who want the Lord Jesus Christ to come. Those who want to continue in the ways of this world, enjoy the sin of this world, they are the people who does not want the Lord Jesus Christ to return. Regardless of how much they shout aloud and sing songs, as long as they continue in sin, as long as they continue breathing the sin and the wickedness of the world, they do not want the Lord Jesus Christ to come. So His church, He knows His church wants Him to come, and he encouraged them to always want Him to come, because they require protection from this world. He wants them to stretch their focus and never look again in the things of this world, but lift up their eyes on the hills. Lift up their eyes of their heart as it were unto heaven and look unto the throne of God and say, Lord, when are you coming to deliver us from the evil world that we live in? So he says, suddenly, in the twinkling of an eye, a miracle will happen. So do not be driven to despair. Your salvation is at hand. Those who are alive right now will be caught up together with the dead in Christ in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That is the blessed hope that the Lord gives us in Scripture. There will be that personal reunion with the Lord Jesus Christ, because He comes for His own people. Remember what He says in the book of John, chapter 14. We all know these verses. Chapter 14, verse 1 and 2. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. I will come again and I will take you to myself, and where I am, you may be also. That's how much He loves us. He prepares a place for us. We have a place in the heart of Christ. This world is not our home. What am I driving to you, friends, is that as the year begins, as we have hopes and plans, let us not think that it all depends in the year that is ahead. Christ Jesus, who sits on the throne, let our hope and trust be in Him. Let us try to find a place in His heart, and let us open our hearts so that He find a place unto our own hearts. Then the blessings of God shall be poured upon us. So friends, as we listen to the message of His return, it is normal then, it is normal for every Christian or every person whose conscience is actually alive to ask the question, since He's coming back again, am I ready to meet Him? Will I be ready to stand before this God? Is that my personal pursuit in this year that is beginning? Is it that what I want to achieve? To be ready to meet God, to be found in Him. Have I begun this year by preparing for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or I have other plans? I have put Christ again at the back seat. Do I have a plan for Him? Is that the way am I beginning my year? But this message also, friends, wants to bring to us a sense of keeping our house in order. Remember, when you have a visitor who comes from far, a well-respected person, imagine our president coming to your house, what do? You keep your house in order. You make sure you kill the insects, whatever it is in your house, the spiders and the cockroaches and the ants, everything gets to be doomed. Because someone special is coming back. If we can prepare for a special somebody who breathes the air that we breathe, weak as we are, sinful as we are, somebody who will die and perish in his sins if he does not repent from his sins, if we are so careful in preparing for such a people, what more about the Lord Jesus Christ? There is a sense here of that we must keep our house, we must keep our house in order. We must keep our house clean. We must get rid of anything and everything that will embarrass us when He returns. Is that so with your soul, my friend? That is what this is about. Let it be so with your soul as well. Let Him find that soul washed in the blood of the Lamb. Look at verse number 14, here in chapter number 22. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they may have the right to the tree of life, and that they may enter the city by the gates. So certainly, friends, the certainty of His coming, the certainty of His return is not only a message of encouragement to us, but a warning towards the tendency of drifting away from the truth. This message aims to help us to cast out the idleness in our lives. Because we are idle people. Sometimes we need to be pushed to do the right thing. But here in the beginning of the year, the Lord brings the message to cast out our idleness, to help us hold firm to the fundamental principles of God, to know who God is, to wait in eager expectation for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be ready as it were. And for our sake, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, the Apostle Paul says to the church, says to every one of us, examine yourself to see whether you can. Examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Or do you not realize that this is about yourselves, that Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? Friends, the words that I just read to you has to do with examining yourself, not examining your neighbor. You need to examine yourself. You need to take care of yourself. You need to take ownership of your life and responsibility of your action. It has to do with repentance and faith, a personal turn from sin unto Christ. Examine yourself to see that you are in the faith. It has to do with identifying your present self, not your old self. And I'm going to explain what I mean. When I speak of the old self this time, I speak of you at the time you met the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you still the same man? Are you still the same woman? Are you still the same child? Or there is a new self after you have made Christ, and that is an old self now. There is a new self who is disobedient to the word of God. There is a new self who does not honor the word of God. Where do you stand? It is about identifying the self, the present self. Or else you just glory in an old testimony. When I was saved, when did this happen? What is your testimony for today? That is the question. Not an old testimony. What is your testimony for today? Are you still filled with the Spirit of God? Do you still continue living the life of righteousness? Do you walk in the light as He is in the light? Do you still have fellowship with your friends, the ones who are in Christ? Or a person walks alone in this journey, not wanting anyone to correct, not wanting anyone to rebuke you when you're wrong? Do you still remember that you have been purified by the precious blood of Christ? This is all about the now. So this message is certain. It comes from a faithful one. For in Him there is no lie and deceit. So your plans for this year, my friend, are very important, I agree. But they are insignificant if they cut out the plans of the Lord in your life. They're insignificant compared to the message of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let that be at the center of your heart as you begin the year. The Lord is coming and His message is certain. It will happen. But secondly, we look at the recompense at His coming. The reward at His coming. That is what He's talking about in verse number 12. It says, behold, I'm coming soon, bringing my recompense with me, to repay each one for what he has done. Here we see, friend, we foresee the joy that shall follow the Christian. There is a joy that is coming after this life, beyond the horizon of death and decay, beyond the sufferings and the sorrows of this life. There is a joy that awaits those who are in Christ. What is this reward? The final redemption of His people. Of course, the Bible speaks of crown, a symbol of victory and perseverance. We know that. But John is not specific to a crown here. When you read in the context of this book of Revelation, indeed, this recompense is eternal life with Christ. The greatest reward ever, friends, is to spend your eternity in the presence of the Lord. Remember the words of Jonah. not Jonah, Job. Remember the words of Job, chapter 19, verse 25. I know my Redeemer lives. I shall see him face to face when this flesh of mine has been thus destroyed. When my skin has thus perished, yet I shall see him face to face. He said, even though I'm suffering in this world, though I am challenged in this world, though I am left behind, I have nobody to take care and look after me. But I have a blessed hope. There is a recompense awaiting me. There is a reward that it comes from the Lord. And that reward, friends, is greater than the crowns of heaven that we shall receive. It's to spend your eternity in the presence of God. Listen to Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The verse that is in the board of the church, which most of you perhaps have not noticed. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. A free gift. There's a reward that is free, that has been given to people, and it is the eternal life in God through Christ Jesus our Lord. The word recompense here is also translated as reward, as I was saying, my friend. In other words, wages. Something that you will receive at His coming. Something that you will have as your earning, and something that you will have as your income. He says to the Christians in Revelation 21, chapter 4, just to see this language of recompense. Look back to Revelation 21, chapter 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and the dead shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. That is what is going to happen when Christ returns. That is going to be our reward as the faithful ones of God. Death will be no more. Sorrows will be no more. Our tears will be wiped away. That doesn't mean, friends, it's going to go to every one of us' face and wipe away our tears. Something great is going to happen. His presence will wipe away all our tears. Seeing Him face to face. Having that final redemption away from sin. No more breathing the sins of this world. No more worshipping God with a sinning heart, but with a pure heart. A reward, the final redemption of His people. Is that not the whole purpose of Christianity? To pursue holy obedience among God's people, so that we may receive the reward of salvation. To live their lives here on earth, knowing that there is something better that is still to come beyond the surface and beyond the clouds and everything of this world. Imagine, like today, there's a cloud covering the sky, but knowing that above that cloud, the sun is still shining. There is still a bright future awaiting His children. So the promise of reward is an exhortation to holiness. He's not promising reward so that we remain joyful and continue the way we want to continue. But He exhorts us to live a life of holiness, knowing that there is something in store for us. It is a call to remain in His righteousness, to walk in the light of God, to walk through the darkness of this world, knowing that above the cloud, as I was saying, of the skies, the sun is still bright. Because friends, listen, during the time when the Apostle John wrote this revelation, during the time when God Himself gave this revelation of His Son to John, the church was going under fire, friends. The church was persecuted. Why were they persecuted? They refused to call Caesar Lord. So Jesus is bringing a message to a people who refuse to fit in with the standard of this world. This message is for those who refuse to bow to the rules and regulations of this world. Those who refuse to have another God than the God of heaven. They were forced to bow to Caesar and call Caesar Lord. And this message comes. He brings a message and he says, I'm bringing a recompense with to those who refuse to bow, to those who refuse to have anything of this world in their closets. Those who strive to separate from the world, he brings a message that there's a reward for you. However, friends, the recompense isn't twofold. We need to understand that the reward of the Lord isn't twofold. It is a reward to the righteous, but it is also a reward to the unrighteous. It says he comes in verse number 12 to repay each one for what he has done. He comes to repay each one, every person, whoever lives in this world. Of course, specifically he's got something for his children, but every person, women and child, he comes to repay according to what each has done. What does this tell us? It tells us that our deeds in this world, they matter before God. That is why, friends, he wants us to live and produce works of faith. He wants us to produce works of righteousness because it matters what we do in this world. I want us to see this twofold idea of recompense that I'm talking about. It says in verse 15, blessed are those who wash their robes. They will be permitted to enter through the gate of the city. That is verse 14. Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they will be permitted to, they may have the right to the tree of life, sorry, just got lost, and that they may enter the city by the gate. We see the idea of a twofold recompense. First, to his children, those who believe in him. Because, friends, if you think back at the beginning of the human race, we are told that Adam and Eve had the privilege of seeing and knowing and eating on this tree of life that verse number 14 is talking about. They had that privilege, but what happened when Adam and Eve sinned? They were moved from the garden of God. God chased them out so that they may no longer eat in the fruit that will bring eternal life. Because they exchanged the gift of eternal life to death. But in Christ, we have received again this gift of eternal life and turned death into life. We were dead in our sin and trespasses, says the word of God. But he raised us with him that we may reign with him righteously. So we see this twofold idea of recompense, that we will eat in the tree of eternal life. But not only are we going to eat in the tree of eternal life and live forever, we shall enter the gates of the city. We shall enter its gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. We shall look back in the sorrows and the troubles of this world and say, indeed, we have victory in our God. He has taken us out from the dungeons of sin unto his marvelous light. Praise be to our God. That is what is going to happen, as we see in verse number 14. But we also see of the recompense received by the unbelievers. In verse number 15, they are called the outsiders. They are called the dogs. It says they are sorcerers and sexual immoral and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. These are the people who will be where? Outside. Their reward, they will be given a reward called go outside. That is their reward. They will be cut from the presence of God. Doesn't that remind you of Matthew chapter number 24? Doesn't that remind you that the Bible says the Lord Jesus Christ himself will call each and every man, woman and child, bring them to stand before him, and he will say to his people, stand on my right, and those who are called here outsiders, dogs, sorcerers, sexual immorals, idolaters, murderers, those who practice falsehood will be on their left. And he will say to those on their left, go away from my presence. go to the eternal fires prepared for the devil and his angels. And he will say to those on his right, my good and faithful children, enter into that kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth. A double recompense, a double reward. Which side are you on? Which reward you pursue? How are you going to live your life this year? The way you're going to live your life this year determines which reward you're going to get. Are you with Christ or against Christ? A double recompense. So I need to ask myself, each and every time I live in this world, as I begin this year, today is the 7th of the month. Actually, it's the 8th. Almost forgot. I forgot my birthday on the 6th anyway. Thanks for those who reminded me. My wife sent me a message in the morning. I go, okay. Yeah, I always forget my birthday. And Pastor Bafana says, it is a sign of old age. I don't know if that is true. However, friends, today is the 8th of the month. We are still in the beginning of the month. In the beginning of the year as well. And I'm saying he comes to judge the wicked. He comes to render each man according to his work. So I need to continue to ask myself at the beginning of the year, has my deeds been good? Am I prepared to continue in the ways of the Lord? Will I be doing good this year? Will I be showing that I have been raised with Christ? His favor is upon me. Will I be showing those signs? And I want us to be reminded, friends, that at the beginning of the year, be reminded. As many people try to encourage, and it's good to be encouraged, but be encouraged by the truth. Be reminded there will be judgment day and God will bring to an end this present evil age. He will bring it to an end. Why will he bring that to an end? To protect his people. To protect his people from the presence of sin and from the life of sin. He wants to protect us. He wants us to be with him where there is no sin, where the streets are shining with gold, the presence of gold, the righteousness of God. He wants us to be reminded. So we look forward to this coming of the Lord, but we look forward not to judgment. We look forward to the recompense. We look forward to our reward. The reward that was already promised even before the Lord Jesus Christ himself came into this world. Before he was born in Bethlehem, God already promised that those who will be found in him, they will have a better, a beautiful, a precious, a glorious, an eternal reward. So there was a sense of great expectation that when the Christ comes, when he comes to bring everything to an end, there will be a reward. Let's read Isaiah 40 verse 10. You can write down, it says, behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. So the message of reward is a long anticipated, long expected message. What does that tell us? We should always do good to receive good. We should do good to show that we have been made good. If we want this recompense, always do good. Unlike the Israelites of the old, let us not be impressed by the easy believism of this world. Let us not be impressed easily by the world and its temporal promises. Because in most cases, the Israelites of the old, they adopted the sinful ways of this world. If you read the Old Testament, every time they come to a certain people, they adopt the styles and the living ways of the people. Let it not be so with the Christians. Those who want to receive a reward, separate yourself from the world. Separate yourself from the ways of the world. Of course, we do not isolate ourselves. We must preach to them. I'm still going to go to that. But there must be a separation. In other words, there must be a difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. And the difference is not that we come to church and shout aloud and sing many songs and pray in tongues, yet our lives, we live our lives like demons. Let there be a separation. Let the glory of Christ shine in our lives. Let our footprints as we walk, as it were, show the people that we walk with Christ. Let us leave behind a testimony that indeed we they serve a living God who saves sinners from their sin. So the culture around us should not be our teacher. We will not conform to the standards of the world, but we shall strive to be transformed by the renewing of the mind and the spirit of God. We will discern what is right and what is true. We will discern what is the will of God, and we will do what is acceptable before Him even this year. But also let us be warned of the scoffers. The message of reward brings also a warning to the scoffers. The scoffers are those who mock our religion, those who mock our faith, those who will tell you that you are too stiff, loosen up a little bit, try to have fun. Those who will tell you that at least maybe you are outdated in society. You live as an isolated life. Try to live as everyone else. Those who will lead you to compromise the standard of Christianity, to compromise the message of the gospel. Those who go and say, Jesus said long ago, He is coming soon, yet He has not come. Do not mock that, my friend. He has not come for your own benefit, so that none may be perished. So that none may perish. So that all may come to the knowledge of Christ. The Bible says He is patient. Just like He was patient in the days of Noah. For 120 years Noah preached righteousness, saying the rain is coming. They said, the rain is not coming. The same thing is happening. He says, I come quickly. Yet people will say, what is quickly? He has not yet come. Friends, He is patient. Let those who mock be warned, but also take advantage of the time given. Because God is merciful. He will not will that any should perish. But we, as a return, will have a reward. Our final redemption. A life away from the sin of this world. But the thing I want us to see here is our expected response to the message of His coming. There is an expectation that we should respond in a way once we hear the message of His coming. Yes, I've been saying you must live your life in this way, but there is a response that is made clear in this word, in the word of God, that we should have towards the message of His coming. And we see that verse 17 gives us that suitable response to the message of the promise of the coming King. It says, the Spirit and the Bride says, come. Let the one who hears say, come. And the one who is thirsty, come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. So as we continue to live under the misery of tribulation in this world and the dark hopeless situations around us, Christ's final appeal is that we need to cry out in deep longing. We need to cry out for His coming. We need to cry out for that final redemption, for that final deliverance from the presence of sin. We need to cry out. That is an expected response. The Christian should be crying out. The Christian should not sit there in idleness and say, Lord, You will come whenever You come. They need to cry out. It says the Spirit and the Bride, they're crying together. Come, Lord Jesus, come. The Bible says the Church and the Spirit have one response. They have one mind. They have one heart, if you will, concerning that blessed hope of the return of Christ. Come, Lord Jesus, come. That tells us we should long for His coming. We should cry day by day. How? In prayer and in our songs that we sing. Our songs must be songs that calls on to the Lord. Lord, we are tired of the presence of sin. Not that we want to run away from the things of this world. He has given us all these things to enjoy, but the presence of sin should bother us. We cry out in prayer. We cry out in our songs, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." And actually, friends, this is the difference between the true church of Jesus Christ and the false church. The true church cries, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." The false church, "Shower your blessings unto us. Let us live forever and enjoy our lives." But the true church, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." The false church, they peddle with the word of God to entertain people, to make them feel good. They tell jokes behind the pulpit. But the true church preaches the word of God. He is coming again. And I'm not saying our church alone is the true church. Friends, there are many true churches. You must just find one. And it's difficult even for me to find one, even around here. Not to be funny, friends. The message that separates the wheat from the chaff. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Not open your doors and the windows of heaven. Shower blessing unto us. Of course we prayed it. Of course we wanted. But that is not the message that drives the pulpit. Repent from your sin. Turn away from your wickedness. Come, Lord Jesus, come. That is the response expected from us. So we long for the coming of Jesus. We cry under the influence of the Spirit. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Our spirit yearns within us. Come, Lord Jesus, come. And you can see in this way that it is not just the church corporately that cries, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." Each and every Christian should cry. When you are at work, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." When you are at home, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." When you are driving your nice car, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." Even if you don't have a car, you are walking on the streets, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." Why? It keeps you in a walk of righteousness. "Come, Lord Jesus, come. Before I drift away from this way of life. Before I sink deep in the sins of this world. Before I forsake the church like many who came here and then now they are in the world. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Before I make mistakes in this world, which we call mistake, but sin before you. Before I get to be pregnant, before I get married, come, Lord Jesus, come. Before I impregnate someone else, before it is called my wife, as many of us have done, come, Lord Jesus, come." That is a response that is expected from us, each and every individual to cry. And the fact that it's coming quickly tells us that our response to this message should also be personal. But it must also be a quick message. You must tell yourself all the time. It must be an immediate response, a quick response. It should be a daily resolution. Why? Because our daily doings, our daily records are recorded by God Himself. That is why He's able to say, "I'm coming to repay according to what each has done." Because He's writing down each and every doing. So it matters what we are doing. Where we find ourselves even this year, who we spend our time with, how we live. He's coming back again. Because if we don't live in accordance to His will, we will not long for His return. And we will continue to be excited by the things of the world. But not only should we cry out in prayer and song, "Come, Lord Jesus, come," we should also cry out by preaching the message of the gospel. The message of the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can see that in our words here. It says, "Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water without price come." There has to be a message sent to those who are outside the church. Those who have not yet come into faith. They must know the message. We must preach the gospel. Come unto Christ. Come. All who have ears need to hear the good news of the gospel. That Christ Jesus died for their sin. And if they believe and repent from their sin, they too will inherit the kingdom of God. So not only do we call, "Come, Lord Jesus," It's a two-way street. We also call, come, people, come. We stand in the middle. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, everyone, come. Come to this Christ who is Savior and Lord. Come, He's calling for you. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Why should you tarry when Jesus is pleading with you? Why should you linger and heed not His mercies? Though you are a sinner, He is merciful to call you and cleanse you from your sin. Come, everyone, come. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. The waters that I will give unto him, they will become a spring of life-giving water. Come, everyone, come. Come for the rest of your soul. But come, Lord Jesus, come. That is the response. A two-way response expected from us. Call on to the Christ. Call on also to the sinner to find pardon for his sin. And God in His grace and mercy, He calls friends. Even this morning, He is calling. He's calling to the world. He's calling to the sinner, but He's using us so that every woman and child, every tongue, language and tribe, sinner of every kind, to come to Him. He calls out to those who have not put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, even if they go to church. As long as they've not put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, come. But here's the gracious thing. I don't know if you realize it. He calls to come before He comes. And He tells you, I'm coming, but then He calls you to come before He comes. Such a gracious God, eh? He's not hiding that He's coming so that you'll be taken by surprise, but before He comes, He calls you to come. Before He comes, not only is He calling the sinner to come, He's calling you to a life of righteousness. He's calling you to live the life of faith in this world before He comes. The message is calling to the church to be ready. Come, Lord Jesus Christ, come. Let me close like this. The King is coming. Be ready for Him. Of course, many years have passed, but friends, the message is certain. He is coming. The Lord has not delayed, but He is patient with sinners, so that all may come to the knowledge of faith, so that all those whom He foreknew may come and be saved. So let everyone know that He is coming quickly. He is coming soon with His recompense in His hand. Let every sinner turn from his sin. Let every Christian forget the sorrows and the pains of this world, but to respond daily in a life of holiness towards God. Let not the pleasures of this world fool you, my friend. He is coming. And just to remind you, there will be no second chance. When He comes, it is an end. There is no space between His coming and His judgment. He is coming. So let us not be fooled by the pleasures of this world, as I was saying. He is coming. Doesn't the Bible says, today, when you hear His voice, do not harden your heart as you did in the days of the wilderness. Do not harden your hearts as in the day of rebellion. You need to focus your mind to eternity, to the coming of Christ. Because your soul is eternal. And your soul is more important than anything else of this world. Let every Christian cry out, come, Lord Jesus, come. In prayer we cry, come, Lord Jesus, come. In our songs, come, Lord Jesus, come. In our lives, come, Lord Jesus, come. In our preaching, come, Lord Jesus, come. That's why we examine ourselves, so that we may cry aloud, come, Jesus, come. Let every Christian rejoice then. He is coming. Why rejoice? He has something for you. Like I was saying at the beginning of the message, when I leave my family, when I say I'm coming back and I'm bringing something, they are hopeful. This is God. There is no lie nor deceit in Him. Rejoice. Even at the beginning of the year, rejoice. Regardless how you have entered the year, rejoice. He is coming. He has a reward for you. Know that nothing of this life is greater than the gift or the reward that Jesus Christ will bring unto you. Let that motivate you, friends, even as you start the year. The Lord is coming. NgesiZulu, I don't know English. Hlala ngentombi. It's a phrase that we use to say, look after yourself like a virgin lady. Don't let anything touch you. The Lord is coming. Amen. Let us pray.